Hey guys, welcome to my podcast. My prayer is that you are encouraged, transformed, and equipped through each episode. Hey, welcome everybody to my podcast. I'm so glad that you are joining me. Thank you so much for viewing today or listening from wherever it is that you are watching me. We thank you so much for tuning in. We just are declaring that God is going to speak to you today. I want to talk to you out of the subject of strategies that the enemy uses to keep you defeated. There are a lot of strategies that the enemy uses, and we have to know how to counterattack. We have to have a battle plan. Sometimes the body of Christ are so caught off guard. We say that the enemy has been defeated, he's under our feet, and then we go and lie down without a counterattack. We have to know how to counterattack. We have to know what is the strategies that the enemy is using against my life to defeat my life. So there is not a person that is in military that will want to go to war without a plan. We always have to have a battle plan. We have to know what will be our plan when X happens, X, Y, and Z happens. And so it's important for us to understand what are his strategies and how am I going to exploit his strategies, you know, expose his strategies, and how am I going to counterattack those strategies. Now, we do realize that in Colossians, the Bible speaks of, in chapter 2, verse 15, how Satan has been defeated. But that doesn't mean that Satan is not going to use certain things in our lives or certain strategies to try to trick us. That's what he does. He tricks us, he lies to us, and he tries to get us to believe otherwise. So I'm going to come to you and I'm going to give you some strategies of how to detect what the enemy's using to try to attack, defeat your life. And so oftentimes he'll come and whisper things in your lives, and we just don't understand what it is that he's doing, or if it's even him for that matter. So we have to know the art of war, because the enemy cannot outwit us. And so this podcast is to enlighten you so that you know what is it, what strategies is the enemy using to come and try to defeat me. Now, the Bible does speak about Satan being defeated. We do have the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. However, the Bible also speaks about in the book of Ephesians how we have to put on the full armor of God. So we are in a war, and the war is for a lot of different places that the enemy uses against us. So we've got to counterattack, and we have to know what is it that the enemy is using against me. Strategy number one, I want you to point out that the first strategy that the enemy uses against you to keep you defeated is number one, fear. He instills fear. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says that he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. So Satan's favorite primary weapon of choice, if you will, is fear. Because fear robs you of your faith. Fear robs you of your peace. So the choice that the enemy uses, the strategy, his weapon of choice, is fear. And it keeps you focused on circumstances. That's what fear does. Fear will keep us focused on circumstances as opposed to focusing on the promises of God, focusing on what God has said. Now, the Bible commands us time and time again, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, do not fear. Do not fear. On one occasion, we find a story, and this story is found in Luke chapter 8, and it's a father by the name of Jairus, and Jairus' daughter was sick, and so Jairus, all he can see is the circumstances, and Jesus tells Jairus something. He said, Jairus, do not be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed. In other words, Jesus was saying, that fear, Jairus, is going to prohibit your daughter from being healed. Do not be afraid, Jairus. So the choice that the enemy uses, the weapon, his favored weapon, is going to be fear. The enemy will instill fear to what? To challenge us. It's challenging the promises of God. So whenever fear rises up inside of us, we'll know because it robs us of our peace. We'll know because we no longer truly believe the promises of God. We declare them from our mouth, but truly, it's not really embedded in our hearts. There's almost a lingering thought of, what if it doesn't happen? And so Satan will use fear. That's the perfect example of how fear can rob us of the promises of God found here in the book of Luke chapter 8. So Jesus tells him, don't fear. I got it. Your daughter is going to be healed. Listen, maybe you're going through circumstances so difficult. Jesus is telling you today, don't fear. Because that fear is going to prohibit you. It is the choice that the enemy uses of weaponry against you to try to focus you to the circumstance as opposed to the promises of God. We find another example found in the book of Matthew chapter 14. And we find there that God had told Peter to walk on water. He said, come. And here Peter started to walk on water. The minute he focused on the circumstance, then he fell. And we know the story. Jesus said, oh, you of little faith. See, because the opposite of fear is love. That's for another podcast. But it robs us, that fear robs us of that faith. So it's hard to believe God when we have fear instilled in us. So how do you counterattack when fear is rising up? When I'm looking at the circumstance and it just seems so much bigger than the promises of God. Number one, you've got to meditate on the Word of God. You've got to pick up the Word of God and you've got to meditate on the Word of God. If you're being attacked by fear right now and you're seeing the storm and you're seeing the impossibility in your life right now, you're facing an impossible situation that you know that only the intervention of God can get you out, you've got to pick up your Word and you've got to meditate on the Word of God. This is how you're going to have faith drive out fear. Faith is going to start to drive out fear. It's going to flush it out. How? By meditating on the Word of God. Do not meditate on what you're going through. Start to renew your mind and meditate on the Word of God. Speak the Word of God. Number three, rebuke fear. Order and command fear to go. And number four, begin to pray in the Spirit. That is how you're going to combat fear. What is the second strategy that the enemy uses? The second strategy is the enemy will lie to you. So the first one is fear. The second one is lies. So he lies. John 8:44 says that he is a liar and the father of lies. He's the author of lies. It's impossible for him to tell you the truth. So one of the strategies of the enemy is to lie to us. Every day there's going to be a lie that from the enemy that rises up. Now, I don't know if you've ever had, when you're going about your day, negative thoughts that rise up in your head. Discouraging thoughts, and they come out of nowhere. And you often sometimes wonder, and you can't even recognize it, that it's the enemy's lies. Sometimes they don't sound very much like it's the enemy. Sometimes they sound to be true. Could it be true? But that's all the plan of the enemy. And so you have to have a battle plan in order for you to not be outwitted by this enemy. So what does he do? He wants to lie to you to such an extent for you to start to accept them as true. In other words, he lies to you and he wants you to fall for that lie. So then now that lie sounds like it's true. The enemy knows your insecurities. The enemy knows my insecurities. The enemy knows that he can play and toy on those insecurities. He knows our fears and he knows how to toy on those fears. So he's always trying to fight us against faith and trying to play and toy on our insecurities and our fears. And so he tries to get us to feed on that fear, feed the insecurity by telling us what? All kinds of lies. So why does he lie to you? Why does he lie to me? What is he trying to get out of it? What is the devil trying to do? The point of the lie is to access your life. See, if he can access your life, then if he can lie to you, get you to accept the lie as if it's true, he has accessed your lie. The Bible says that Satan in John 10:10 comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So if you've had any thoughts that are opposite or contrary to what God is saying, contrary to what God is speaking into your life, that you're not going to be healed, that you're not going to be delivered, that you're not going to be prosperous, that you're not going to be full of, you know, salvation for your family, that you're not going to be full of peace, that you're not going to have, you know, a powerful life, if you will, or advance the kingdom of God or be used by God. Those are flat out lies. And what is its purpose for you to accept it? See, the lie is just a lie. As long as I don't accept it, it's harmless. As long as I do not accept it to be true, a lie is harmless. The lie is only powerful and has access to my life if I accept it to be true. So how do you counteract the enemy's lies? Number one, take every thought captive. The Bible speaks in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God through the tearing down of strongholds. So we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Take every thought captive. So when the lie comes, do not accept it. Look at it. Evaluate it. Examine it. Put it right in front of you. Is what I'm thinking about true? Is that true? Many years ago, the enemy said this to me. You will never, ever raise a generation up for Jesus. Nobody wants Jesus. I just started ministry. I remember driving home, and I remember clearly the Holy Spirit speaking this to me. Did I say that to you? And I quickly responded, no. Can you imagine if I would have just been led by that lie, accepted that lie? Years later, we won so many young people for Jesus. We raised a ministry to almost 2,000 young people. It expanded such an extent that it was so big. Can you imagine if I would have accepted that lie? See, the enemy's just trying to access your life through that lie. So take every thought captive. Compare it. Does this add up? Or is this what God said? Is this what Jesus has told me? If it's no, then destroy it, dismantle it, uproot it. Do not let it be cemented or planted in your heart. Number two, respond with the truth. If there's a lie coming at you, respond by the truth. No, that's not what God said. I was created in His image. I was made in His likeness. No, that's not true. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. No, that's not true. God said that He's able to do above and beyond all I can ever ask or imagine. No, that's not true. The Bible says that no weapon formed against me shall prosper and prevail. You've got to respond with the truth. Number three, the enemy will tempt you with sin. That is one of his strategies. He will tempt you with sin. James chapter 1 verse 13 says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot but be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt himself or anyone for that matter. God never tempts us, but Satan comes to tempt us. So he'll tempt us by committing lies, by acting immoral, tempting us to quit on God, tempting us to quit. And it may not, sometimes when we think of temptation or when we think of sin, we think of, you know, those big temptations. But really, truly, fear is the sin. Quitting is a sin. Doubting is a sin. And so he'll come to tempt us. He tempted Jesus in the wilderness when he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus, the Savior of the world, the Master. Here is the morning star. Here is the bread of life. And yet he was tempted. For us to think that we are not going to be tempted, we better put our guard up because we can all be tempted. How do you counterattack the temptation? Recognize that there's always a way out. Nobody can ever say, but I just fell into this temptation and I never had a way out. God always gives you a way out. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. You have to understand that God always gives you a way out. What is the answer? The second thing that you want to do to counterattack it, answer the temptation with God's word. What does God's word say? Don't fall prey to the temptations of the enemy. What does God say? And lastly, what is the strategy of the enemy? Number four, the enemy will stir up pride. These are the four strategies of the enemy to try to defeat your life. Analyze your life. Is he stirring up pride in your life? Proverbs 13:10 says, pride leads to conflict. Pride is defined as an overhigh opinion of oneself, exaggerated self-esteem, conceit, haughtiness, arrogance, self-esteem arising from one's accomplishments, possessions, an exaggerated idea of one's own dignity or importance. That's the Webster's dictionary. But if you look at the Bible, God says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to 17, that it is an abomination to God. It is something he hates. Satan knows pride. He is pride. And he knows that pride is the path to destruction. And he knows that pride is the path to all shame. So if he can stir up pride in your heart, then, and whisper things in your life, and get you to get pride to be stirred up in your heart to such an extent where pride goes undetected in your heart, where you think you don't have it, but technically you do, he knows that that is the road to destruction and that is the road to shame. So that is going to cause trouble in our lives. So we have to go, God, where in my life is pride stirring up? Listen, I want to pause there for a moment. You've got to go to my YouTube channel. I've got an entire preaching on pride that you've got to listen to, because oftentimes we think we don't have pride when pride is there. We've all had it. I battled pride, and I could still battle pride. We're all susceptible to it. For us to think that none of these strategies we can ever fall into is really an erroneous kind of thinking. How do you counterattack pride? Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Tell God you're sorry. Say, God, I am so sorry. I recognize I have pride, and you hate pride, and I don't want anything that you hate. Number two, be grateful. When we are grateful, we are humble. One of the signs that you are humble is that you are grateful. You're grateful to God for everything that you have. Quit looking at what you don't have. Quit looking at what you have not accomplished, and look at what you already have. And then lastly, to counterattack pride, do not judge other Christians. Stop judging, stop criticizing, stop comparing yourself to other people, stop slandering other people. Let God be God. The vengeance belongs to the Lord. Listen, the Bible even speaks of it, that, you know, we look at the speck in my brother's eyes when I've got a big log in mine. Listen, stop criticizing other people. Just renounce that spirit of pride. I want to pray for you. If there's an attack of your life over those four things that I just mentioned, I pray in the name of Jesus that that spirit that is coming to try to defeat you be destroyed right now. Be exposed in your life to such an extent that you don't want it. I pray in Jesus' name that that spirit of fear leave your life. That lying spirit that has been whispering in your thoughts, whispering to you, in your mind, whispering even to your heart, telling you X, Y, and Z, things contrary to the word of God, I pray that that lie be dismantled completely in the name of Jesus. I pray that if the enemy is tempting you, I pray that you will flee from that temptation in the name of Jesus, and that you fall at the feet of God. I pray that if the enemy is stirring up any form of pride, that right now you would humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and that you would repent. I pray for a spirit of repentance to fall upon every person that is listening to me, that you do not fall to the plans, the schemes, the strategies, and all kinds of tricks of the enemy, but that they would be exposed in your life in the name of Jesus, and that you would have a battle plan, that before you even enter that attack, you have a battle plan. You have a counterattack, that when this happens in my life, I'm going to do this. I gave you the counterattack, and I pray that you will follow that in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray for every person right now, and I bind every work of darkness, everything that the enemy is using to try to destroy your people. Father, today in Jesus' name, I bind that spirit. I arrest the demonic realm that is coming to attack your life, telling you that you are not going to prosper. I bind that lie. I destroy it in the name of Jesus, and I command it to return to the pit of hell. And I declare that the word of God will prevail in your life, that truth will prevail in your life, that you will rise in the name of Jesus, and that you will be a powerful soldier in the kingdom of God. Alert that you are awake in the kingdom of God. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you next time. Please go and comment anything that you felt or led to say. You just want to thank us. Please do so. Comment. I read them. I like to personally read them and comment back. So make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel. And until next time, we will see you guys. Love you all.
Hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you would like more content, a link to all of our social media will be provided in the description. And as always, subscribe and hit the notification button to get new uploads. And be sure to like and share. Until next time.